voice and make it a prayer. Lord, I've come here for fire. I've come here for your oil. I've come here, O God, so that you can make me a force in my generation. Lord, I look up to you. I say, thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Somebody say a loud amen. Please, you may be seated, maintaining that attitude of prayer and worship. This morning, we'll be concluding my own syllabus on burning and shining light. We had looked at what it means to be a burning light. We want to see what it means to be a shining light in our generation. John chapter 5, verse 3. John 5, 3. Ye sent 33. John 5, 33. I beg your pardon. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. 34. But I received not testimony from man. But these things I say, that you might be saved. 35. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. God has already started raising burning and shining lights here. And the world shall rejoice over you and rejoice over your burning in the name of Jesus Christ. We looked at the fact that burning meant to be set on fire. Number two, it meant to be hot. Number three, it meant to be intense. And number four, it meant to be urgent. What does it mean to shine? Shining is the quality of brightness. When light is shone on an object, shining is the quality of brightness that happens when light is shone on an object. What does this mean? That not every shining, actually, technically speaking, is coming from within. But this also means that virtually every single surface or every single individual can decide to strategically position himself or herself to reflect the shining light of God. So it doesn't matter your birth, doesn't matter your upbringing, it doesn't matter your financial status, it doesn't matter where you are today, you can position your life and be a shining light. The stars in the sky emit light in themselves. The sun emits light in itself. But the moon is a morbid surface. The moon is a morbid surface. The moon on its own, de novo, does not shine. But what the moon does is that it positions itself at an angle to the sun that is generating and reflecting light and fire. And then the moon begins to radiate that light, and you say the moon is shining. I don't know who you are here today. If you will be strategic and you can stand and position yourself with the light of the Word of God, you too shall be classified as the shining objects that are in the sky, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we saw some time ago that God said to Abraham, said, look out into the sky. As those stars are shining and as those stars are numerous, so shall your offspring be. when there was this complication and he went in unto Hagar and Hagar gave birth for him, God now told him, said, look at the sky and look at the sand. The sky and the sand. So that is, your children shall be as numerous as the stars in the sky and also as numerous as the dust on the earth. That is to say, some of your children will be shining and some of your children will be dust. I choose to be one of those up in the sky that is shining, and I refuse to be dust. I refuse to be sand. I refuse to be trampled under feet. I refuse to be relegated to the background. I choose to stand out in the sky as a shining star. If there is somebody who wants to join me, jump up on your feet and say, I am shining. In the name of Jesus, please, you may be seated. And so, let's just look. I'm not going to look at all the intricate details like we did for burning, but let's look at least the word bright. What does it mean to shine? Number one, to shine, we said, is the quality of brightness that is reflected when light shines on an object. So, number one, it means to be bright. It means to be bright. It means to give out a reflective light. And for you to give out a reflective light, you must become full of light so that you can effortlessly reflect that light. That's A, under number one, A. You emit the light, you reflect you give out light, you reflect the light. B, it means to be intelligent. When you say this boy is a bright chap in the class, it means what? To be intelligent. C, it means to be vivid and intense. It means to be vivid and intense and also strong. It means to be vivid, intense, and strong. D, it means to be striking or to be eye-catching. That was the kind of person that Rebecca was, that Rachel was. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 14. It was time for the prayer hour, and the people had gathered around the well, and there was nobody to draw the water until the servant of Abraham prayed a prayer. He said, Lord, if you have granted me good speed, then help me so that the person will serve me. Let's read that together so I don't paraphrase. It says, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness to thy master. And did God answer his prayer or not? If you look at verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Melchah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, which is with her pitcher on her shoulder. So go to 46 now. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels to drink also. This was a bright young lady, industrious young lady. She was out on the field tending her father's flock. And then she was not stingy with her services. Somebody asked for water. She said, I will only give you water. All these camels, I will draw water and give to them. Somebody is about to rise up as such a virtuous woman, such a virtuous man, after this meeting in the name of Jesus. I have preached about this before, and I pointed out the fact that one camel can drink gallons of water. One camel, gallons of water. And normally, the pitcher that they put on their shoulder, maybe it's not up to a gallon's worth that they put. That means that for each camel, this damsel had to run up the hill and down several times in in order for one camel to be satisfied drinking. And yet she did it. Yet she promised to do it. That is what we mean when you are a shining light. You go the extra mile. You are bright. You are distinct. You cannot be hidden. After today, I announce to you, everything that obscured your life, everything that covered your life, it is being removed in the name of Jesus. The same thing with Rachel in Genesis 29 and verse 17 and 18. She was watering her father's flock, and then Jacob came. 17 says, and Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy daughter. Well, before then, he had met her at the pool and decided and assisted them to draw the water, and that established a relationship. Number two, to shine means to be resplendent. Resplendent. R-E-S-P-L-E-N-D-A-N-T. And that means to be splendid. You are not just ordinary. You are splendid. It means to be magnificent. You know, when you enter this glory dome, what's your description? It's a magnificent, gigantic structure. You are magnificent. Anywhere you appear, you cannot be hidden. You are clearly outstanding. And see, is imposing or gorgeous. You are a shining light means that you are imposing. You are gorgeous. You walk into a room and everybody must acknowledge that somebody just entered. And D, you are impressive. You are impressive. That was how Daniel was. He was excellent and he shone out in his generation. And you remember that he remained relevant in 4 administrations. If you look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 25 to 28, it says, and Daniel, let's see 26. Yes, and I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is a living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Verse 27. He delivered and rescued, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He also prospered in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, which was before this. And God caused him to remain relevant in these administrations. Praise the Lord. What also does it mean to shine? It means to be evident. When something is evident, it cannot be hidden. If you enter this sanctuary now, that screen is evident. From the back, from the galleries, anywhere you are, this big screen here is evident. Anything that is being displayed on it is evident for everybody to see. That is what a shining light is. Anywhere you appear, you are evident for people to see you. They cannot ignore you. They cannot claim ignorance of your presence or your existence. Number four is that you appear. When we say you are a shining light, it talks about a sudden appearance. It talks about a sudden manifestation. I think I'm explaining another one. It talks about a sudden appearance. Number five, it means to be seen. You are not hidden. You are seen everywhere you are. You are seen. You are seen. You are evident. Number six, it means to be exposed. You are not covered. The Bible says that no man yet lighted a candle and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestand that it may shine for the world to see. God is setting you on fire and causing you to burn so that he can set you as a pedestal and so that you can shine for your world to see. Number seven is to become manifest. you become manifest, you become known, you suddenly appear. There is a time in a man's life that you are in obscurity, but you manifest. You've heard the story of the caterpillar. It's a caterpillar on the ground, crawling like a little worm. Then something happens. Overnight, that caterpillar sheds off that hard shell that is on it, and out of it emerges a butterfly. A butterfly, beautiful butterfly. The caterpillar was relegated to the ground, but the butterfly begins to fly in the sky. Beautiful, colorful. God is about to make you evident to your world in the name of Jesus. And the last point is to become brilliant or excellent. When we say somebody is a shining student in his class, we say he's brilliant. We are saying he's an excellent student. Today, anything that kept you under wraps is being broken for you. Anything that kept you under wraps is losing its grip for you in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the key to manifesting this bright, shining status? I call it self-discipline. Somebody say self-discipline. Self what? Self-discipline. You want to be all these things that we said. You want to be a fire. You want to be lighted. You want to be a shining light. You want to be manifest. You want to stand out. You want to be brilliant. You want to be excellent. You want the world to take knowledge of you and take cognizance of you. You want to enter a room and they cannot ignore your presence. You want to make a contribution and they cannot turn you down. Job said that after I spake, all tongues were stayed and nobody had anything to say again. You want to be that kind of person. What are the keys? Let's look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel 1:8. I want us to read it together. 1-2 go. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. We are going to dwell on this verse for the rest of this service today. We want to unravel what was the mystery of the Daniel who stayed relevant through the reign of four kings, four disputing administrations, as God's servant calls it, four administrations that didn't see eye to eye. One took over from another by war. He fought and won him and took over. Fought and won another and took over. One was the son of another and took over. And they were disputing administrations. Under normal circumstances, you don't take somebody from the old cabinet that was in the ruling party and put in your cabinet. Normally, you don't do that. He might end up being a traitor. He might end up being a snitch. He might end up coming against your policies and your interactions. But Daniel was so relevant that he could not be relegated. And he reigned over a span of more than 70 years in that land. Why? Because he was a shining light. What was his secret? That's what we see in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, but. So our number one point is but. But. Number one, but. In the journey of life and in the circumstances of our generation, you must have a but season in your life. A season of detour. A season where you shift. A season where you say, no more. I'm not party to this old way that has been done. But I stand out. I take a decision to be different. I take not different. Some people didn't understand. You take a decision, what? To be different. You take a decision to stand out. You steer the steering wheel of your car and journey of life. You steer it away from the dangers of this world. And you drive in the opposite direction. It's a lonely drive. But it's a worthwhile drive. When other young people are living a certain lifestyle, when they have certain values, when they have certain practices, you decide, what does the Bible say? And I decide to detour and stare and be different. When that happens, something changes in your life. When I was in medical school, my first year, second year, and third year, I was a struggling student. I was just getting along, just patching along. As a matter of fact, I had a receipt in biochemistry, which I now redeemed during that long vac that gave other people long vac. But by the time I came back in fourth year, it was my birth moment. It was my birth moment. I told you about that meeting that I attended where God's servant was preaching. And I said, who is this guest minister that was preaching? And they said, you don't know him. He's a student here. I said, I don't know him. My class and his class did not like mingle, but still, quite a number of other people knew him. I didn't know him. For me, everybody knew me because I was a professor's daughter. I couldn't be hidden. But I didn't know this guest minister, in quotes. And the guest minister said, okay, he made a call, just like this kind of call, you want to receive fire. I already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was a call, you want to be somebody that is on fire. Fire was senior pastor's language from time. And so, I came out, I wanted fire. After the service, he said, wait. So he said, Sister Becky, have you ever prayed in tongues for 1 hour? I said, can any human being pray in tongues for 1 hour? I mean, that was my immediate reply. Is it possible for somebody to pray in tongues, only tongues, for 1 hour? He said, okay, so go back and give it a try. By the time we are coming back next Sunday for the fellowship, let me know. So this kind of clock. How many of you know this clock? Have you ever seen this kind of clock? We don't use it now. Everybody has a timer on their iPhone and their Samsung and their Android. So people don't use this. This was a treasure to any medical student. Because you have to wake up. You have to set your alarm and wake up. So mine was, that one was red. I just got this one. My sister is telling me it was red. Red. With these things here like this. Exactly like this. So I went back and I took my alarm. And I set it to 1 hour. I kept the alarm down and started praying. Rabataka ya da da da. I think that was must have been the fervency of my prayer at that time. Mataka shataka la ba da ba da ba da ba. I was praying. I prayed. I said, if my alarm clock spoiled, it will not be good though in this medical school. What happened? My alarm has spoiled. So, and you know that time, you felt that to pray, you must close your eyes. I was praying. I said, I opened my eyes. I said, alarm clock, don't spoil. Let me find out what is going on. When I picked the alarm clock, it was ticking as normal, working perfectly in order, and I realized I had done only 15 minutes. 15 minutes. I said, all this prayer. All this prayer I've been praying is only 15 minutes I have done. Yesu. So I kept it down and continued. Of course, that day I couldn't reach the 1 hour. I couldn't reach. But must I not be honest? I didn't reach 1 hour. And so the next day I tried and tried and tried. So by the Sunday when I came, I said, the honest truth is I've tried every day of the week and I still haven't in one go reached the 1 hour. I said, no problem. The fire will continue to burn. Laid hands on all of us again that Sunday and then we all went back. Cut a long story short, I didn't need my alarm clock again to know that I had done more than 1 hour. I'm still going. Praise the Lord. And so, what was I saying? That was a birth moment in my life. It was a time for a detour. Everything changed. It's after that one I'm telling the story that I'll go for prayer meeting and come back and pass the other people in the class that have been reading for like 1 or 2 hours before I got there. It was the same period, the same remaining 3 years of of my medical school that I came out graduate, best graduating student in obstetrics and gynecology. It was the same period of the same medical school. Everything about my life turned around because I agreed to participate in a birth moment, a moment where I changed. There was a paradigm shift. I took another direction and began to move against the grain. How other people were doing it was not how I was doing it again. And I had a relationship that was on fire with God. I had been born again since 1979. This story I'm telling you about was in 1989. 10 years down the journey of my Christianity, everything turned around. I want to announce to somebody here that everything is turning around in your life and destiny. If you're a believer, you shout a loud amen. So there must be a birth moment. How many of you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 7? Genesis 37, 7. Genesis 37 says, for behold, let's take verse 2 first. Verse 2. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought reports, brought unto his father their evil reports. Joseph was in their midst, but he decided to exist as a box. He refused to compromise with the standards that were reigning and ruling at that time. He refused to participate in the things that others were participating in. And this passage interests me because it says, these are the genealogy. Do you see that? It says, these are the generations of Jacob. And it stopped at Joseph. You know when it says generation, it will say Joseph. In fact, it has to start from the top. To start with Reuben, Judah, Levi, blah, 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 blah. Then before it comes, second to the last is Joseph. And they are saying the generation of Jacob. And the name they put first is Joseph. The other names they were putting, they didn't even put their names. They were describing them in batch. Sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah. And they were describing them not in a very positive way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can come to a point in your life and destiny that you choose to stand out. And you will be recognized and pulled from the back where you are. And you'll be placed in front. And when they are making reference to your family line, you cannot be discouraged. Or you cannot be ignored. I'm here to announce to somebody that your birth moment in this conference is about to set you out and distinguish you and cause you to stand out in your generation. If there is a believer in the house, shout a loud amen. Please take your seat. That's where Joseph's journey started. We'll be seeing more about him before we finish today. That's where Joseph's journey started. He refused to condone the evil practice of his time. He saw it in his brothers and he decided, no, I will not. You must decide to live unapologetically in this generation. Tell your neighbor, live unapologetically. That everybody is doing it does not mean it is permitted. Live what? Unapologetically. Number two, from that Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but Daniel did what? Daniel proposed. So we'll stop at Daniel proposed. So number two, we want to look at Daniel proposed, or you can say proposed. He was determined. Let's number it. A. He was determined. B. He was committed to a new line of action. So determination, commitment. Am I using A or B or 1 and 2? I'm using 1 and 2. A. So B, he was committed. C. He changed his intentions. How he intended to do things before, he changed the intention. They had all been carried as captives, and they brought them. These were like instructions, marching orders. You people have just arrived in the camp. We are not going to keep you inside the prison cell. This you, we have selected you. We saw in you that there is the possibility of becoming shining light. So we have picked you out of the others that were ordinary people and didn't have that shine and spunk in them. And we want to put you in the king's palace. And we want to groom you. We want to send you to the university in the king's palace so that you can become men of learning and renown. But one of the operating standard procedures in this hostel accommodation where you are staying is that we'll be giving you the king's food that comes from you are going to be eating. So Daniel did what? He proposed. He changed his intention. CD. He made a resolve. He resolved in his heart. He made a resolve. This is what Brian Tracy calls single-mindedness. He decided on something and he kept to that thing. He made a determination, E for change. Beloved brothers and sisters, what determines the outcome of this great conference that you are attending now is the decisions that you make after this conference. Is the resolve that you make while this conference is going on. Is the change of intent and change of direction that you arrive at after this conference. You see, God's servant says that there can be great conferences, but it is what somebody takes out of the conference that really made that conference great. Like as I'm talking now, there are those that came to find girlfriends. There are those that came to find girlfriend, those that came to find fiancé and boyfriend. And as I'm talking now, they are planning how they will meet under the tree at the corner X and corner Y. No, no, no. That's not what you are here for. You are here for a change of life. You are here to become a burning light. You are here to become a shining light. And God will be pleased and glad that after this conference, your life will begin to shine without dimming in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You must understand that fire is not a passive force. I said it the other day when I was preaching on burning. Fire is not passive. Have you ever seen fire burning and there was no motion? No, now. When fire is burning. ICT, please give us that your screen that shows fire burning. Is it backdrop? And not this one now. Alright, but let me continue. You've seen fire burning before. Fire, it's moving. And then, it doesn't just move up like this. It's moving. It's moving 360 degrees. Just moving up, sides, back, front. It's moving. Fire is not passive. Fire is not silent. A real fire burning has sound. Have you heard sound of fire burning? Crack, 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 crack. There's sound. Fire is not passive. You can't say that you have come to be a burning light and you are passive. You are laid back. To be a beneficiary of operating in this fire realm, you cannot be passive. You cannot be laid back. That's fire. Can you see the fire moving? You see it moving left and right, up and down, back and front. Fire is active. God bless you, ICT. Fire is active. Fire burns dominatingly. It's in charge anywhere it is. It colonizes that environment. Look at John in that place that we read, our reference of John in verse 35 of chapter 5. John chapter 5 says he was a burning and a shining light. And we are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a man of determination. He was a man of commitment to a cause. So committed to his cause that he moved out of his parents' house. Imagine a child born after many years of expectation. He should have stayed at home and be pampered, be looked after, be you know, decorated and everything. But what did he do? He had a cause. He had a cause. He had an understanding that he was a forerunner of the Master Jesus. He separated himself to the desert places. He lived in the desert. The Bible says his food was locusts and wild honey. He could have been eating meat and any kind of enjoyment he wanted in his father's house, but he chose to be in the wilderness, under the rain, under the cold, under the heat, under the sun, so that he can bring to pass what he knew he had been created to do. Somebody here is going to say, no more passivity of life. I am going to stretch myself. I'm going to go all the way so that I can become all that God wants me to be. If such a person is in the house, you shout a loud amen. You don't ever achieve greatness from the dormant position. You don't achieve greatness from the resting position. You don't achieve greatness from the relaxation position. You walk now so that you can play later. In your youthful season is when you should exert your energy, exert yourself, so that in your later years you can rest all you want to rest. I read a story about a dentist. He gave his work his all. That doctor gave his work his all. He developed himself. He trained himself. He opened his own dental hospital and attended to patients. But he began to improve his skill, developed himself. He would pay his way around the world to attend dental conferences, to know and understudy the newest technology in their field of assignment. One day he went to Japan, attended a conference where a renowned dentist, an old dentist, a renowned dentist, was teaching certain skills about teeth whitening that was not the regular practice. He got himself back to his location and got what he needed to do and began to apply these things that he learned. Very soon, because he was the only one doing what he was doing, and it was the results were remarkable, he could increase his bill, he could increase his price, he was doing what, and the patients kept coming in. Some of the increase was so as to keep those who cannot afford it away, but people would rather borrow to have their teeth handled by that same dentist, that same doctor. And by the time he was in his late 30s, he was able to retire wealthy enough, and he spent the rest of his life traveling, going to Bahamas, going to all the resorts, carrying his children and his wife around, and just generally enjoying life, because he gave intensity to his assignment at an early age and rose to the top and was comfortably establishing multiples of millions of dollars, and he could retire early. I want to announce to somebody here today, God is about to move somebody to your height in life and destiny. If you are a believer, shout a loud amen. Number three, in his heart. Number three topic, title, in his heart. What does that passage say? He said, but Daniel proposed in his heart. Where did he propose? In his heart. He didn't start off by talking. You were in the service yesterday. God's servant preached. One of the undoings of Samson was talkativeness, loquacity, always engaging. And God's servant prayed that if there's any sanguine here, we make excuse that sanguines talk too much. But today, I join faith with him and I paralyze over talkativeness of every sanguine here. And non-sanguines that are talkative and loquacious, I command from today, over talkativeness is over in the name of Jesus. He proposed in his heart. Beloved, what does this mean? It's a matter of vision. It's a matter of what sits in your heart. Who do you think you are? Or who do you think you should be? How do you view yourself? What kind of man do you want to become? What kind of woman do you want to become? I'm using the word become because we are still in the process. We are still in the process. Every bright day is a bright shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What do you want to become? Who do you want to become? Years to come, when they are describing you, what do you want them to say about you? When they are reading your history, what do you want them to say about you? What do you want the description of your person to be to your world? Joseph was a man that had a clear vision of who he was meant to be. You saw that where we read in Genesis chapter 37 in verse 5. They said he dreamt a dream. So there he told this to his brethren. You know, that was his own other mistake. He should have kept the dream in his heart first. Maybe worst case, you know, he could have told his father. He told it to his brethren. Then he dreamt again in verse 9. He dreamt yet again. And he dreamt yet another dream. And told it to his brethren. And said, behold, I have dreamt a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. You remember Joseph? He was in a birth moment where he separated himself and became different from others. And where did that lead him? It led him. He must have sat down and thought. With what I am seeing my brethren doing, is this how I want to be? He must have applied his mind and his intellect and his understanding and prayer force to pray and ask from God, where are you taking me? Who do you want me to be? How do you want me to be? What do you want me to be? And then God started revealing to him and speaking to him and explaining to him and opening his eyes, and he was seeing in the dream that he was going to be above the others. He was going to be a ruler. He was going to be in charge. He was not just going to be in charge of his brethren. He was going to be in charge of his parents. So it was a mantle that was beyond just his family. He saw it. He understood it. Inside his mind, he knew it and he lived with it. One dream was not enough. He dreamt it again. Today, my prayer is that God will open your hearts. As you wait on him and ask him, just ask him, Baba, who do you want me to be? What do you want me to be? Beyond this current assignment, how do you want me to progress in this assignment? What kind of impact do you want me to make? When they are speaking of church growers or people who are builders, construction, or they are talking about people who have a financial mantle and their location's finances is always on top, will they call my name? I saw a young medical student testifying. What kind of doctor am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to fulfill this calling you have given to me? How is it to impact lives? Where do you want me to be? I don't want to join the bandwagon. Everybody is looking for how to get green card and how to go abroad. Lord, am I among those that are to be brain drained for Nigeria? Or do you want me to stay here and make something out of my life? Am I going to be a consultant? In what field am I going to be a consultant in? As a lawyer, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to practice on the bench? Do you want me to practice at the bar? Which one do you want me to do? Do you want me to be a corporate lawyer? Where do you want me to be? What is your direction for me? Let's not live life at random. Let's have a clear understanding of where God is taking us, where he's taking us, and the sooner we know it, the sooner we begin to run in that direction. If you are in a a relay race, maybe 100 4 by 100 meters dash. The first man runs at a dash. He gave gap to the other people. And then he handed the baton to the second man. The second man wasn't vigilant. Baton fell from his hand. Game don't spoil. By the time he carries, picks it from the ground, stands up, and begins to run, the guy that was coming second would have overtaken him. The race would have been won by another. So the earlier you start and stay ahead and stay on course and stay focused, the sooner you will arrive in your victory destination. Don't have a moment of delay. I want to pray for somebody today, as I just said, a moment of delay. I declare the impartation of the spirit of speed upon somebody's life. If you believe it, shout a loud amen. Amen. I've enjoyed speed in life, oh. God has helped me. Do you know how old I was when I became a medical doctor? 21. I was standelico. I looked like a 21-year-old girl. Very tiny. Lepa, real lepa risky. Just 121 here, and I'm smiling. Hey, what's wrong with you, patient? Oh, don't worry, you'll be okay, you'll be okay. I remember one, a mature woman came, and I was the one sitting on the consulting desk. She looked around. I think she asked in her mind, where's the doctor? I said, sit down, what's the problem? She came with, I think, her child or her husband. She didn't want me to treat. I said, don't worry, it's not in my age. Let me treat. I don't remember the case, but I wrote prescription. 2 days' time, it wasn't time for the checkup. She came and said, doctor, you're a very good doctor. As soon as we got back, this, that happened. It's not in... I want to announce to somebody today that speed is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. I said speed is coming upon your life in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter at 21, you haven't got admission to the university yet. Or at 21, you are still doing something else. It doesn't matter. God is going to give you catch up speed, catch up growth. If there is a believer in the house, shout a loud amen. Please take your seat. You know, in pediatrics, there's what they call catch up growth. So maybe a child started suffering from malnutrition, protein energy malnutrition, or kwashiorkor, or one of those kind of things, or had a condition, and the child's growth is delayed. As soon as you correct the anomaly, the disease, or the condition that affected the child, like if it's in kwashiorkor, you could see a 5-year-old child that looks like 2, with fluffy hair, flaky skin dermatitis, that is on the body. The skin is peeling and falling by itself. The tummy is bloated and big. The hands are like sticks. They are just hanging like that. You look at the legs, you can almost not carry the body. When you identify such a child and you are able to make your diagnosis, and then you give them a nutrition plan that is high in protein, adequately balanced in carbohydrates, fats and oils, and all that, and you feed that child for about a month or two, the child comes back to normal. But that's not where it stops. Remember, the child's height was at the height of a 3-year-old. If you give that child another 6 months at the most, the child will suddenly shoot up and grow and come to the height of a fellow 5-year-old. It is called catch-up growth. I'm here to announce to somebody, God is about to give somebody that has been delayed catch-up growth in life and destiny. If you are a believer, you shout a loud amen. Praise the Lord. Please take your seat so that I can walk against this time that is trying to confront me. Number four is, therefore he requested, and subtitle under it is, take action. Therefore he requested, subtitle, take action. Let's look at the passage again, Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. And Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And therefore, he requested. Daniel refused defilement. He refused compromise. He had a bought moment in his life. He decided to stand out. He decided to be different. And then, what did he do? He requested. He requested. Beloved, it's not just enough to decide that I am having a change. I am doing this. I'm doing that. It's not just enough to have a vision. You must do what? Take action. If you have already dreamed and envisaged who you are, or who you are to become, or where you are to be, or what you are to do, then you must take decisive action. How is your action to be? It is supposed to be a specific action. Specific action in the direction of your path. Number two, it is to be calculated. Well organized and orchestrated. Well calculated action. Number three is to be decisive. You are not shaky. You are not one leg in today, one leg out tomorrow. No. You made that decision. You took that action step. You take it decisively. And then number D is urgently. Urgency. It is said that you strike the iron while it is hot. Does every youth here really understand that word? Let me see. You don't quite get it. What is this iron and what is strike? Let me see your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just be honest. Yeah, so I see your hands. Yeah. So, you know, do you know a blacksmith? ICT, do you have any picture of a blacksmith with a hot iron and holding a hammer? So, search for it to show it to us while I'm talking. Now, in a blacksmith's place, I've never gone to a blacksmith's place. I don't know how it looks physically, but I've seen it in pictures and I've seen it, you know, in videos. Now, the blacksmith has this fairy furnace kind of fire that he blows up. They use a bellow. They use bellows and they are blowing it. It's giving it heat. They are blowing the bellows like a balloon kind of thing connected to the fireplace. And then as they blow, it is generating high intensity heat. Then they put the iron inside. And then when the iron, which was black, becomes red hot, they use another object and they pull it out. And then they use a mallet, a kind of a hammer, and they begin to hit it and shape it, mold it into the shape. Yeah, that is it. That's the mallet. Show it full picture. Can you see the red hot, almost white looking iron? Can you see the blacksmith's hand at the back? At the back. And then this hand here is wearing a glove or something. And then that's the mallet, the hammer. He's now hammering that metal and shaping it into the shape. Now this is what happens. If after all the effort that he was bellowing it and pushing the heat and making it hot, and he got the iron to be very red hot, and he brought his hand and said, "Oh boss, my hand they pay me. I've been pumping this thing since. Let me relax small. Let me just get my breath. In fact, let me just sit down small." Before he comes to hammer it, what happens? The iron would have started going cold. The tensile strength that had been reduced, it starts gaining its strength back, so he cannot hammer it and shape it again. That's what it is said when you say, strike the iron while it is hot. You have taken a decision. God has shown you what to do. Take action while the thing still there hot, hot, hot inside your mind. Do you understand what we're saying? So, next time they ask you, what does it mean to strike the iron while it is hot? Tell them, I took action. Oh, me, I know that day. That day, I took action. How many of you are taking action after today? Give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise. Until you step out, you can never start the journey. It is said that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. When you take the first step, you have started in the direction of where you're going. You can never know if you will succeed until you actually tried to succeed. You will never know if you can make it in that decision until you actually step out and start it. Remember what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Matthew 14, 28. Please add 10 minutes there so that this thing will stop flashing on my eye. Thank you. Matthew 14, 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Verse 29, what does he say? And Jesus said unto him, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to meet Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He saw something. His mind told him, you too can walk on this water. This is the same Jesus that you have been with. If you can walk on this water, you can walk on the water. And then what did he do? He did what? He took action. And then he asked the master, I want to come there. Come there. And the master said, yes, come. He told him, come. He bid him come. And what happened? And on that word, come, he stepped out of the boat and himself started walking on the water. After today, the things you have heard taught here, as you step out and you take action, what other people could not succeed at doing, what could not carry the weight of other people, what other people struggle to achieve, you shall achieve it effortlessly. If there is a believer in the house, shout aloud, amen. Tell your neighbor, step out. Tell somebody else, take action. Don't just sit down. Take action. Please, you may be seated. I remember, now you see, the other disciples remained in the boat in fear and they never walked on the water. Don't let fear keep you down. I remember in my form 3, my father was a lecturer in the university. As a professor, we lived in the university environment all our lives. Okay, so you saw the students, you interacted, we lived in the staff quarters. And then every October, you will see girls flooding the university campus looking for admission. And you see them following old lecturers. They were ready to sleep with the lecturers, ready to compromise with the lecturers, ready to do anything. 1983, I was in Form 3. That time, school ended in Form 5. You had Form 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And in Form 3 is when you decide which subjects you are going to take eventually. And then you now pick your subjects. So I walked to my mother. It was my mom that reminded me years later. I walked to my mother and said, Mommy, you know, sometimes I come third, I come second, once in a while I come first, in fact I even come fourth sometimes, but I want to become a serious student. I want to read and do well so that when I finish from secondary school, neither you nor daddy nor myself will beg for my admission. That's what she told me that I said. I must have been 13 years old at that time or so. Yeah, 12 or 13. I want to read so hard that nobody will have to beg for me to get admission. I've been dilly-dallying whether I want to be an architect or I want to be a doctor. But I'll choose one now. I want to be a doctor. So I'm going to make sure that I read well. So as we're going back to school, I'm going to choose my subjects. I will drop technical drawing and I'll focus on the other subjects. That's how I went to school. Everything about my schoolwork changed. I was very playful before then. Just play, smiling with everybody. Just jolly go happy girl. And became serious. I told you about the girl that used to take the first. Nobody used to compete with her. And I told you how she used to run on the racetrack. I said, maybe that's the secret. Anything I needed to do. But I went with that determination. As God will have it, when it was time to write WAEC, I settled down, wrote the WAEC. Before then, I didn't used to pass maths well. It was a struggle. That same holiday, I went out to the market with my father and my mother and bought a textbook that teaches you mathematics. You follow the way they worked the mathematics. You follow the example. You get your answer. It showed you marking scheme, how they used to mark it in WAEC. If you do this step, you get one mark. If you do this step, you get two marks. So I followed it. Then at the back, you now have questions that you answer by yourself. I followed the questions. Mathematics became A for me. Everything A. Came out with, is it six A's? Six A's and two C's. Six A's and two C's. No, I'm not saying for you to clap, but it was a change of one person. The same person. The same person. The same person. Settled down with myself. If the mathematics teacher was not teaching me well, I couldn't understand what they were saying. One, was it a Filipino man or Indian man? I can't remember. You know, in the federal government college where I was. I sat down myself. I learnt it. I knew it. And did it. At the end of the day, I wrote both SBS exam and JAMB. So that if JAMB did not jam me, if JAMB jammed me, I don't know which is the right word, then SBS I'll go. Now SBS result comes out before JAMB result. So SBS result came out. I was enjoying long holiday after WAEC and the result came out. Oh, so you passed SBS. So I carried my car and went to ABU and started SBS. I'd done like 2-3 months and then JAMB result came out. And they gave me admission, medicine, University of Jos. I was going out in the evening in Amina Hostel to go and read. And then, lo and behold, I turned, I saw my mom. You know, there was no GSM there, no phone. I saw my mother say, congratulations, you got admission to read medicine. I came to pick you. I said, hey, that's the end of the reading. You guys, see you. And then carried my things. We packed the load, slept where we were to sleep with my mom that day. And the next morning, she went and dropped me in Uni Jos. I started registration and went ahead. Why am I telling you this story? You can change your mindset. And then take the action you need to take to arrive at where you want to arrive. Nobody will do it for you. Your father can't do it for you. Your mother can't do it for you. If you like, pray. Lord, 10 times of the anointing on Dr. Pastor Paul Enetche, come on my head. As you are laying your hand more on your head, you just be increasing your baldness. The hair will just come out. If you like, pray. Yes, God answers prayers. But beyond the prayers, there are necessary steps. Beyond the prayers, he said to Peter, come on the water. Peter had to take his leg. Make a step. Take the second leg. Two legs out of the boat. Both legs on the water. Water has to solidify under him because he took action. Today, every troubling situation of your life, it shall take solidity under your feet and you shall move with speed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What are the results of taking action? Let me just rattle through it. What are the results of taking action? What are the results of being disciplined? Of being a self-disciplined person and taking action. A. It changes your character. It changes your character to comply with your anticipated destination. When you apply yourself to your actions, your choices, your vision, your decision, and you begin to take action in self-discipline, it changes your character to comply with your anticipated destination. If you have a vision to be a president of a nation, can I ask you a question? Will president be plaiting his hair as a man? Wearing earring? Although these days I heard that there's one prime minister that has a man wife. But under normal circumstances, there's supposed to be some level of decorum on the person who is the leader of a nation. Lacking of corruption, lacking of negative vices. And so you have a vision to be at the top. It will affect how you dress. It will affect how you conduct yourself. It will affect how you comport yourself. As a young lady, you say, I want to marry as a virgin. I want to be celebrated by my husband when I get married. It will affect how you conduct yourself. You are not going to be dressing seductively and twisting your waist all over the campus and moving around and looking seductive. It determines how you live your life. Say, I want to be a great man. I want to be an entrepreneur. Dangote no go see my brake light when I arrive. You'll be disciplined in your expenditure and you'll take time to study entrepreneurship. You won't spend the night sleeping, day sleeping, and the remaining time on the Facebook. So, when you take action, and you take disciplined action, disciplined decision, it affects your character and causes you to comply with your anticipated destinations. Number B, it makes you a stronger person. You are a stronger person. You just heard the story I told. Playful Becky. Just play, play. The intelligence must be there, but might be there, but you play and play and play. I was supposed to be a sanguine. So gist and play and smile and just. But when a vision came, it transformed my character into a stronger person. I made me settle down to do the things I needed to do. Every time you do a correct action, according to your action plans, what does it do? You are adding to your character bank. Every time you take a wrong step, you are depleting from your character accounts. And the more you add to your character account, the stronger your character account becomes, and the wealthier you are in the realm of character. If, for instance, you say, I will exercise every day, just 30 minutes or 20 minutes of exercise, every day you do it, you discipline yourself and you do it, you are adding to your character bank. Say, I will wake up at 5 a.m. every day, so I can have 1 hour of my own to pray before I do anything else. Every day you are disciplined and your alarm rings and you get up, you have added to your character store. You become stronger. You can face situations. Whenever you do the right thing, you add. When you do the wrong thing, you deplete. God shall make us very wealthy in character capital in the name of Jesus. C. Every time you take positive action in the direction of your goals and your personal aspirations, your personality rises to a higher level. Your personality rises to a higher level. You see, God's servant, during that election period, he will stand there and speak boldly to the people of the nation. Why? Because his character capital was high. He wasn't afraid of anybody. He hasn't collected bribe money from nobody. He hasn't compromised with nobody. So he could talk boldly and confidently. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Someone walked up to me and said, we have now known what works. The whole nation is listening to you. Please, next election, you shall give us direction again. Character capital makes your personality strong. You rise to greater levels of greatness. Higher levels of greatness. D. When you do what you must do and stay with it, you become a better person. E. You develop greater self-control. You can easily say no to other things. If you can say no to oversleeping, it will be easy for you to say no to overeating. If you can say no to sexual immorality, you can easily say no to somebody that comes to introduce cocaine to you or Indian hemp, marijuana. I read a sad story one time about a young man, some gang in his school rich man's son came to introduce him to drugs. He said no. He reported to his brother. His brother came, fought with him. Twin brother came, fought with him. They were able to conquer him. And then, I think the brother left the school also. I don't remember the details of the story. And those people cornered him again. Turned him into a drug addict. While the senior brother became a renowned doctor, the younger brother ended up in a rehabilitation home to live for life. The more you say no to sin, the more you can say no to sin. It increases your self-control. And then finally, it gives you a sense of achievement. Every day you wake up, you do the things you need to do. It gives you a sense of achievement. It gives you confidence. You can walk boldly. You can walk with your head high. Yes, you might not be where you want to go, but you are definitely not where you used to be. Praise the Lord. Finally, how do you improve yourself? By taking action. A, be consistent. Keep doing the right things you have decided to do. You have decided every day, I must pray. I must pray 1 hour in a day. I must read my Bible. Maybe you'd say 3 chapters, 5 chapters, 10 chapters. You say, every day I must worship. Every day I must self-develop. I must practice development skills or whatever. Whatever it is, you are a tailor. Every day I must learn a new stitching style or a new sewing style or whatever. You are a barber. Every day I must learn a better way to handle my customers. Whatever it is, you put all those down. These are the things I want to do daily. This is what I stand for daily. And every time you do them consistently, you feel that confidence and you move forward. B. Choose to do what is hard. Choose to do what is necessary, what is hard to do. Do the hard things first. Don't keep it for later. Confront the day doing the most difficult assignment that you have on your table and then move it aside. Then the other things become easier to do. Don't do the things that are easy, fun, enjoyment. Don't start the day in the office, on your Facebook, or your Instagram, or on TikTok. Let me ask, anybody ever, you started on either Instagram, you know those Instagram reels, or you started on TikTok, and when you lifted your head from the phone, you have done 2 hours. Has it happened to you? It has happened to me. Oh, me like this. I said, what is this? Me? I wasted 2 hours. Eh? Very time consuming. I said, never. After that day, I made up my mind. Me? I won't. Oh, what I went to look, I will look for it, get it out, and I move on. If not, you remain there. Your time is going, your day is wasting, and you are affirming somebody else. Make sure that you avoid fun things. You wake up on time. You do your study. You develop yourself. You say no to what is not necessary. C, put in higher levels of self-discipline on a daily basis. Discipline yourself. Speak to yourself. Correct yourself. Encourage yourself. Self-discipline on a daily basis. D, do what normal, everyday, mediocre people don't want to do. You do it. What others are dodging, if you will do it, you will become higher than them. Do you understand what I'm saying? What others are dodging, you do it. What happens? You become higher than them. E, continuously do what you need to do. Continuously. This is different from consistency. This is continuously. There are things you must do continuously. For instance, will you say, I ate yesterday, I'm not eating today? Not that you are fasting. Say, I don't chop now. I ate yesterday, so no need to eat today. Does that happen? So what do you do? You eat consistently. You do it all the time. Will you say, I bathed yesterday, I don't need to bath today? No. You do it what? Consistently. Say, oh, okay, I brushed my teeth yesterday, I don't need to do it today. No, you do it consistently. So there are some practices that make you great, which you must do consistently. Look at them as the bathing and the eating of your spirit man, the bathing and the eating of your intellectual man, the bathing, the eating of your physical man. The more you grow your muscles in the physical, the more the muscles grow. Isn't that so? The more you, those guys, where are those guys that pump steel? You lift weights? The guys that pump steel. The more you pump the steel, you are lifting the weight. What happens? The muscles are developing, they are stretching, they are expanding, they are getting bigger. So, there are things that you must do consistently. And then F, which I'm almost over, be a person of integrity. Be a person of what? Integrity is the senior brother of all these actions we are talking about. Integrity is their senior brother. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let it be easy for you to say no to what you don't want to do. Somebody come and say, hey, bros, what are you doing? Let's go out now. Let's go to Mr. Biggs. Let's go to ShopRite. Let's do this. No, I have a schedule. Your ability to say no firmly, decisively, conclusively takes you to the next height in life and destiny. Refusing compromise, that's part of integrity. Refuse to compromise. That's what Joseph did. He refused to compromise with his brothers. I'm sure they must have told you, oh, boss, now which one? Are you holier than thou? How many girls have ever told you, well done, Virgin Mary, you must be the mother of Jesus? Yes, tell them, I might be the mother of Jesus, but I'm maintaining my integrity. My bed will not be defiled. I will marry as a virgin. I'm upholding my stand. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do it. Refuse compromise. And then honesty. Honesty. I want you to listen to the message God's servant preached yesterday. Wednesday message again when you get back home. Listen to it. It's a life-changing message. Honesty to yourself. Honesty to others. Do you know some people are not honest with themselves? You know some people are not sincere with themselves. They know, but they refuse to be sincere to themselves. How will it help you? If you cannot admit your errors, you cannot admit your faults, your mistakes, how can you change them? So honesty and integrity. Character, development of all that you need. You know, I read about the John D. Rockefeller family. You all know John D. Rockefeller, the first dollar billionaire in the United States, and has stayed wealthy. He's still the owner of oil companies and all. His family has taken over, even though many of them are not as spiritual and as godly as he was. But you know what they did, the Rockefeller family? As wealthy as they were, they trained their children consistently. They gave them allowances. It was good allowance for a billionaire family. But those allowances were not released to them until they carried out their assignments. They gave them assignments. They gave them work to do. They gave them chores to do. From babyhood, you clean your room like this every day, or you do like this every day. And then the consistency of them having carried out their assignment, you are not pitying them. You are not handing over relevant things to house help or assistants to do. They do it themselves, then they get paid their allowances. Now, they don't just get paid their allowances. They now sit with them and teach them what to do with their income. From tender age, they teach them, you give to God your tithe, and you give other kinds of giving to God. Number two, you save out of every money that comes your way. You don't spend everything. Number three, learn to invest. I was talking with a young lady yesterday evening, and she started business at age 16. By age 18, she had made her first 1 million. She's in her 30s now. In plenty of millions. She's married though, but she had enough millions before she married. And she used to tell her friends in school, don't follow men for money. You have a hand. You have a brain. You have legs. Walk. Earn. Do something with your hands. And she has been doing it. John D. Rockefeller family taught these children. And what happened? As they were growing, they became personally successful businessmen and women. They became personally successful statesmen and states ladies. They were able to keep multiplying their money. Other wealthy people at their time did not ingrain these principles to their children, so the wealth of the fathers were not transmitted and continued in a generation to the next generation. We don't hear of the other people that were wealthy at the same time with John D. Rockefeller because they didn't do what they needed to do with their children. What am I saying? Your discipline and your consistency in doing the things you need to do on a daily basis will determine how far you can get in life and in destiny. Somebody is rising up and getting where you should get to in the name of Jesus. Jump up on your feet today and lift up your voice and talk to God. Somebody that is becoming great and greater than your father, greater than your mother, greater than those in your ancestral lineage. Lift up your voice and talk to God this morning. Talk to God this morning. Talk to God this morning. Now, yesterday I was talking about the response, the nervous system response that the body has. Let me just, you continue showing us this later. The nervous system response that the body has. You remember what I said? I said, you start off conscious of what you are doing, and then your body takes over at a stage. So we said there are basically two nervous systems. The voluntary nervous system, which controls the activities that you do voluntarily, that you are aware that you are doing, like walking, like picking up a drink, like laughing and talking. And then the involuntary nervous system, which controls the things that make you survive and procreate. So involuntary nervous system is also called the autonomic nervous system. And under the autonomic nervous system, it takes two parts. It's made up of two parts. The sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system happens when you are, in the stage to procreate. So you must make sure that you don't allow your body to shift from the voluntary nervous system where you are conscious of what you are doing to get to the stage of the parasympathetic nervous system. All right? The what controls your masculinity, what controls your digestion, your and all those kind of things. So the sympathetic nervous system is like what happens when you are running in a fight or running in a flight. And so my counsel is, young people, you might be conscious of when you are walking into the girl's room or walking to the man's room. You are conscious when you are even taking off your clothes for an immoral act. But ensure that you stop yourself. Make it a principle never to get into an uncomfortable situation where you get to a stage where you don't have control again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you get to a stage where your body takes over the control. That will keep you from falling into sin. Is anybody together with me? Say, I hear. Lift up your voice this morning and talk to God. Say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I ask, oh God, that you help me to live a life that glorifies you. I ask, oh God, that you grant me the grace to be everything that I am meant to be. Help me, oh God, to be a bright, shining light. Help me, oh God, to be a light to my generation. Father, we give you praise. Father, we worship you. Ancient of Days, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands as I pray for you. I'm so excited about the fire that fell this morning. And those who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and those who already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit that got charged up again. I'm excited about it, and I know that the Lord's name will be glorified. Lift up your hands and say, Father, make me a shining light. Father, help me to be disciplined, to position myself like the moon, to reflect light and to emit light. Help me, O God, to be an example to my world. Father, I look up to you. Lift up your voice and pray. Father Lord, I look up to you. Father Lord, I give you praise. Ancient of days, you are worthy to be praised. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody shout a loud amen. You remember that ancient song? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Blessed Savior, sing, ask God to touch you in this conference. Tomorrow is the final day, the morning session, and then the night session, the vigil. Is it the fact that Joseph was so separated unto God that the Bible is talking about genealogy of Jacob, and they called only his name first before we see the full details in Leviticus and Numbers and all? Lord, help me to become so prominent that I cannot be hidden. What did you hear? Is it having a birth moment in your life? Is it having a turnaround moment in your life? What did you hear? Is it consistency? Is it discipline? Is it taking action? Is it determination? Is it making up your mind? Is it putting a picture before you and running with that picture? Ask God. Father, help me. As I leave this conference, let these words not be wasted in my life or concerning my life. Talk to God this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray for your sons and your daughters. I ask for a blessing upon every life here. I ask that none of us will remain the same after today. Lord, let our testimonies date to today and to these things that we have received, and let your name be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Somebody say a loud amen. Anybody excited in the house this morning? Give Jesus a big clap and a shout of praise.